Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It is Friday Eve. That makes it Thursday up in here. And no, Dominic, we've got a fine fill-in devil. He is Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show right here on the Civic Media Network. Todd, welcome, man.
Good afternoon, Crudy. It is an overcast but a beautiful day. Whenever I get to join you and be on this lovely time slot, 4 to 6, all the folks listening across the country, around the world, great day.
All the fun happens between 4 and 6.
That's what I've heard.
So often the news breaks in the world, between 3 and 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
We always get first crack at the reaction to the
breaking. I get off the air and then all the fun happens.
Now, I would say you've got big shoes to fill, but less so with Dom.
Dom, I did not say that.
I said it, Dom.
I'm slightly taller than Dom, but you're taller than me, so.
We've got Nate on the board. He is lightly screening the calls all day long, 844-967-2789. And Todd, I got a little speechifying to do. I want people to know I am going to show up at my appointed rounds, Monticello, Greene County Dems, yes. 6 o'clock. I'm giving a little.
You're all dressed up, Crudy. You usually have a jacket on. I mean, clean shaven. You clean up well. Shaven?
Well, my head. I did the self-shave.
Did you? All right.
I often shave my own head. And, you know, here's the saddest part. I have no idea if I've got hair left in the back. You know, I ask my wife and she'll like glance over. Oh, yeah, looks good.
She doesn't care or just, you know.
She married
me. She loves you the way you are, Crudy.
Clearly the
stigmatism. She loves you the way you are.
Is worsening over time. So, Todd, great to have you around. Let's talk some politics just for a minute while I've got time. Todd, I made a big prediction yesterday.
I heard.
Robin Voss, 9:30 this morning, had a little press conference. And my prediction was this. If ever there was a day for Republican electoral malfeasance, if ever there was a day to launch a impeachment of a Supreme Court justice, today would probably be that day. And I'm not sure. I got to put this one down as, what, a baby?
Baby, yeah.
But he's not leading with the impeachment. Not today. They're leading with anti-trans bills that the governor's already threatened to veto, and they're not going anywhere. There is entirely the entire Democratic Party caucus opposed them. Mm. The entire Republican caucus supported exempting Todd Novak, who was a conscientious absentee today.
the only openly gay member of the Republican caucus.
But Todd Novak said he would have voted on the Republican Party line, had he been there.
That's very disappointing.
It is, isn't it?
I've known Todd for a long time. He used to be the editor of the Dodgeville Chronicle. He's a double dipper, by the way, because he's both the mayor of Dodgeville and the state representative, so he gets a double taxpayer check in his pocket every month. And, you know, he's openly gay. I am as well. And it's very disappointing to hear that Representative Todd Novak would vote against his own community.
And against what the medical professionals were suggesting is best.
Exactly.
Best course is whatever the family and their doctor decides, not what Republican lawmakers at the state assembly decide. And this goal is to what? Keep transitioning female athletes from competing against the Title IX female.
Which
athletes.
In the entire state of Wisconsin, Crudy, there are like 6 cases of this. It's
a participation period.
Right.
Of transitioning young ladies.
Exactly.
So it's not a big deal numerically. It's not like they're dominating the sports around here in the state of Wisconsin. There have been a few rare circumstances where some male that has transitioned to female have been good, mm-hmm. have excelled at a sport. But you know what? So do some females.
Yeah.
Someone's got to win.
What this comes down to for me, Crudy, is a couple of days ago on As Goes Wisconsin, Jay Matner, who's filling in for Kristen Bry, and Greg Bach took a call. This was a grandfather who called in and talked about his grandchild who was transitioning and said that that grandchild had tried to attempt to end their own life 6 different times and how much this person needs help, how talented they are. And that, I thought it was a beautiful call that this grandfather called in. He broke down, but even it just goes to show, Crudy, everyone can change and learn and grow, except apparently for the Republican caucus, who just, I mean, you know, Taylor Swift is hot right now. Why you got to be so mean? I mean, seriously.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. No Dom today. In fact, no Crudy for very long. I got a little speechifying. Dom just an unexcused absence. But Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show has kindly and generously decided to fill in and take the big shoes. My shoes are big.
There's no way I will ever fill your shoes, literally or figuratively, Crudy. I can only hope to just, you know, keep treading water for an hour and a half.
Here. Here's what I would say. That's I've always found unusual about your broadcast techniques.
Yes.
You are well hydrated.
I love my beverages. I have a little water. I have a little coffee from Wonder State Coffee here as well. But yeah, I do like a beverage.
No Irish coffee?
No Irish coffee today. No,
maybe the happier happy hour.
Yeah, that's coming up.
You can always move towards that.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that Don left me a bag of gummy bears, I believe. I'm not sure what they are.
Don't try the gummy bears. If they're from Don, don't try the gummy bears. You'll be okay for like the first hour, but hour two will get a little off the rails.
A little goofy. No, we have Pam Yonke, the fabulous farm babe, Crudy, coming up. Thanks for the plug at 4:30. And we're going to have a special announcement right here on Devils. What better place to do it at? And talking about where you can hear her soon across Civic Media and talking about all it is harvest season, Crudy. A great time to have the fabulous farm babe on.
You know, I had a little regret. They had the Harvest Fest marching up here on State Street. The Marijuana Harvest Fest.
Oh, okay.
And I missed that one. I was out of town, apparently, on one of my the party fall tour. Forays. I missed the Harvest Fest, but that's always something of a celebratory thing for my friends in the industry.
Right, yes.
I wonder if Pam, you know, gives a cannabis report, because technically, legally, the hemp is legal.
I was going to say, I've heard her talk about hemp before.
And the CBD products derived from the hemp, all legal. Right. And the FDA has signed off on those. And then once the THC level rises above 0.3, it's no longer hemp. It's the devil's lettuce. It's marijuana, don't you know? And, you know, you could drive 45 minutes south and get it, but not here in the state of Wisconsin.
No, not yet.
You know, we just had Melissa Agard on this fine show just a day or two ago.
Yeah.
And Melissa was the first lawmaker that ever answered the question right. You know, there was some scuttlebutt that we might have gotten Barack Obama back in 2012, but the fear was from his campaign team, Don was going to ask him about marijuana policy. And he didn't want to answer that policy in the middle of a presidential campaign because, you know, Colorado hadn't even legalized that.
Didn't want a Bill Clinton moment.
But since then, there's been a little momentum. And the first one to start building the momentum here in the state of Wisconsin was Melissa Agard. Mm-hmm. And Melissa Agard said, yes, I want to legalize, tax, you know, monitor the consumption. Because, you know, in a black market society, nobody asks the kids for ID. No one makes them prove their age.
No.
Strange that the pot dealer doesn't make the kid prove his age down on the corner. But anyways, it would be a well-regulated industry like it is in every one of our neighboring states at this point. I mean, here we are a decade later. And here's the point. The reason we don't get it is the gerrymandered BAMPs.
Yeah.
And the reason that Robin Voss is threatening to impeach a Supreme Court justice still to this day, very day, you know, not today, but doesn't mean we're not going to do it. So I'm still putting Crudy down for a baby, right? The reason why is because he doesn't want to lose the power that has been created by the gerrymander. To him very specifically, he has the power of this false majority. And I've seen the math, Todd, and I believe there are some geographical things that, even if the maps were completely quote-unquote fair, I believe there are cycles where Republicans are certainly going to have the advantage because of geography, because of the diversity of where Republicans live more in the broader rural communities, and Democrats do tend to congregate in cities and towns and whatever. But come on, man. There's no way it's better candidates and better ideas. I've met so many of these lawmakers. It's not that, Todd.
No, it's gerrymandering, plain and simple. They're just afraid of losing power, and they're afraid of the gerrymandering being overturned by the courts. According to Molly Beck in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Robin Voss, Speaker Voss, told reporters today that, quote, he's not moving forward with impeaching Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz on the floor today, Crudy. It is possible lawmakers will make the unprecedented move in the future.
Well, he's basically saying effectively any reconfiguration of the map is for the benefit of the Democratic Party, and they are big donors to Protasiewicz. And
right.
If she doesn't recuse because there's some sort of tangential benefit to the blue team, well, don't you think he's just building his excuse? Prosser said nothing now. Right. To impeach her. Don't you think Robin Voss is just looking for a later reason?
He's waiting until decision comes down, and then, of course, they'll probably go ahead and move forward with impeachment. In the meantime, you have former Justice Wilcox, a conservative, and former Justice David Prosser, also a former Republican Assembly Speaker, saying, you know what, Robin, might want to rethink that. Even they won't go along with that, Crute.
Well, they're just offering opinions. They're not even impaneled, are they?
No, of course not.
Well, we'll have to get through the court filings to find out for sure. But here's my thought, or I guess a question for you, Todd. So you're implying to me, or stating here on the radio, they'll wait until after the ruling, and then they're going to vindictively impeach her?
Of course.
Stick it to her then.
Yeah, because then they've got quote-unquote reason. And remember, as you well know, Crute, we've got several other court cases beyond gerrymandering going to come through this now liberal court.
Everything
4-3.
From abortion to
ballot drop boxes. Other things. I mean, there's a lot to come through this court. So, I mean, yes, they are going to wait until there is at least a decision where they can manufacture some sort of a narrative around an action to try to justify this.
I thought he was going to blame it on the caucus and say, I didn't want to do it.
Well, the rumor is he might not even finish his term, let alone run for re-election.
Well, rumor where? This is new news to Crudy, man. Devil's advocates.
There you go. Breaking. I mean, there are still a couple of Republicans.
Breaking rumor.
There are still a couple of Republicans that talk to Todd.
Well, that makes one of us. Come back. More Todd Alba, less Mike Crute. No Dom. But you could be a big part. Join him on the phones today, 844-967-2789. Pam Yonke coming soon. Your calls could be next. I'll see you, Green County Dems at Monticello, very, very soon.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates here on the Civic Media Radio Network. See, Nate, I already messed it up. Nate Wege on the board. Glad to have you along. Well, Nate, here it is. Speaker Robin Voss has achieved his ultimate plan. He has put a Republican as the host of Devil's Advocates for the next 90 minutes, and we're going to take over the... This was all a plan for the last year and a half. I have not left the party. No, I'm just joking. So for those who might not know, I am a former Republican. Emphasis on former. Was a Republican for almost 30 years. Left the party in 2011 after witnessing voter suppression laws or bills being passed, and I said, peace out. No longer reflected who I am and what I believe in. Glad to have the opportunity to guest host Devils as Crudy and Dom have Crudy is actually working. He's on his way to Monticello, do a little speech. He's all cleaned up. And Dom is got the day off. So chilling out, maybe making some great pasta. I'm not sure. But Nate Wege, our producer engineer, is here. And we're going to have your calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Talking before the break about Robin Voss announcing today in this story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Molly Beck, Robin Voss saying, you know what? Maybe that impeachment idea isn't so great. And again, he secretly went and got these former conservative justices. He thought he was going to be too cute by half. He thought that former Justice David Prosser, former Republican Speaker of the Assembly, along with Justice Wilcox and Justice Pat Rogensack, were just going to roll over, I guess, and say, yes, Robin, we're legal scholars, justices. Go ahead and do it. But it turns out that David Prosser still has a little bit of character left. I thought he got rid of it when he tried to choke fellow Justice Anne Walsh Bradley, a liberal in the court, a few years ago. That's a true story. Apparently, Justice Prosser off his meds at the time. But he went after Anne Walsh Bradley from my hometown, Richland Center. Put his hands around her neck. Didn't last long after that. But apparently, David Prosser and Wilcox still have a little bit of moral clarity left, or legal clarity. They wrote back to Robin Voss, no, do not do this. You don't have the legal ground to do it. So Robin Voss saying, for now, Republicans will not pursue impeachment of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. What say you? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Mark from the SAC. Mark, thanks for holding. What say you?
Yeah, long time since we talked to
you called in our show. We appreciate it. Always great to talk to you. Mark, what do you got?
Well, a couple of things. I'd like the press to ask Robin Voss to define contiguous and maybe spell it as well. You know, put him on there and actually see if he actually comes up with actually the Black's legal dictionary definition of the word. Mm-hmm. And also on the whole trans bills that the Republicans are putting out. I guess those people don't seem to recognize the issue is a lot more complicated than what they're trying to come up with. I mean, I've read some articles lately that the young woman was apparently intersex. She was presented as she had the genitalia of a female when she was born, mm-hmm. but it turned out she didn't actually have ovaries up inside of her body cavity. She actually had testes up there that were removed when she was still a child, still a baby, because mm-hmm. on doctor's advice. Well, what do the Republicans say and other more complicated than that, the Republicans are saying, well, nothing can happen because they're trying to pass a law, say, well, you can't do anything at all if this happens, because that would be interfering with, they'd probably say God, you know, right. God's will for somebody to be like this until they're an adult. And to get things changed, where as that grandfather that called in, I just heard about on this program, where the children are put through basically hell because they're, you know, that their biology and morphology, mm-hmm. and that's not precisely, I'm not saying probably yep. precisely how it should be said, is not equivalent, it's not the same.
Right.
I mean, these guys, and like this, for worried about the athletics. There's six across the state of Wisconsin, and they're trying to pass a state law for, 3.6 million people mm-hmm. based on just a handful of cases. It's
terrible. Mark, I got the call up against the break, but Mark, always great to hear from you. Mark from the SAC, thanks so much. If you missed it, what Mark's referring to a couple, 3 days ago on As Goes Wisconsin, Kristen Bryce on maternity leave, Jay Matinair, Greg Bach had a great call from a grandfather who has a grandchild who's transitioning and talked about what stress it is on this child and that the child had attempted suicide, how wonderful and talented. It was a heart-touching, very powerful story from this grandfather. Jane and Greg did great with it. I encourage you to go back and look at As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Let's go to Milwaukee quickly. Jake in Milwaukee, got about a minute here, a minute and a half. It's all yours. What say you?
I think you're right. Voss is going to do that because he wants to keep power. But, you know, do they ever think about, like, us riffraff? You know, I'm metaphorically, like, pitchforks and torches. I am so sick of them. Like, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they do, that they will actually get real blowback from people who are just sick and tired of their BS, right?
Right.
I mean, seriously, it's just, you know, it's just to that point where it's like, hey, you know what? You buy Rojo popcorn, how about this? I'm not going to shop at your store because of your Rojo popcorn anymore. Or whoever up in Wausau with a small business be like, you know what? I'm not going to use your business because I'm sick of you guys are being babies and you can't be an adult and you want to rule everyone. And, you know, it's getting to that point, man. And I think there'll be huge blowback if they do right. and when they do. And they're going to regret it.
Rojo popcorn. Do you think that's a real brand that they do for Robin Voss's popcorn company?
Yeah, that's Robin Voss's brand. Rojo popcorn. Yeah.
I love it.
It's really
well.
Weird.
That's what's popping with Robin Voss. Jake, great call.
It's like,
a great call, Jake. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jake in Milwaukee. I mean, people can only take so much, and we got to take it out at the voting booth, at the ballot booth. That's where you take it out. We're going to come back and talk with a wonderful, fantastic person. It's Pam Yonke on the Midwest Farm Report. It is coming here to Civic Media. We're going to tell you how, what, where, when, and why. Don't go anywhere. This is the Devil's Advocates on Civic Media.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to Devil's Advocates here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 33 minutes past the hour of 4 o'clock. I'm telling you, Kenny Chesney, one of my favorite all-time country artists, and Pam Yonke, one of my favorite all-time favorite broadcasters, all in one segment. Nate, just call. I'm done. I can retire now. It is fabulous to have her here. She is of the Midwest Farm Report. She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, thanks so much for taking the time. Welcome to Devil's Advocates, and more importantly, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Yeah, we're happy to look forward to this partnership.
It's great. And for those that might not know, Pam, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and how the Midwest Farm Report came to be.
Sure, you bet. So lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County, that is still in operation today. We don't milk cows anymore, but we cash crop. My sister, my brother, and I are kind of an LLC. We take care of things so that we're running the ground. My 89-year-old mother still lives on the farm with my brother. So that's kind of what our motivation is. Went to school at UW River Falls. And honestly, when I started going to school, I wanted to be an agriculture attorney. Wow. At that time, it was awful in agriculture. That would have been the mid-80s. Interest rates were 18% if you could get a loan. Yeah. I was seeing stories night after night about moratoriums and foreclosures. They were going out and seizing farms, especially in Minnesota. And I thought, well, I want to do something. I got to River Falls. I was about my sophomore year. My dairy farmer parents were paying for my education. And my advisor said to me, listen, Yonke, why don't you wake up and smell the coffee? You never shut up. You're always talking to everybody. You're already in the radio station as a volunteer. Why don't you find out if they've got something for you? So long story short, I got a national scholarship from farm broadcasters and a job offer on the plane, and I've never looked back since.
Well, it's great. I grew up in Richland Center, of course. My paternal grandparents were dairy farmers for 45 years until they retired. And boy, has farming changed since then. But I was the sixth generation to own the farm. And, you know, I grew up in Richland Center, watched Channel 3 News a lot at noon. And you're an icon. I mean, you know, go all the way back to, you know, Kathy Wood and then Mark Kane and Susan Simon. And I think some of the work that you've done there, Pam, to get out the word on agriculture is great for producers, because my granddad always used to come in and eat lunch and turn on Channel 3 and, you know, get the farm report there. But it's also just great for non-ag people as well. Some of the work that you've done with Susan Simon, tell folks about these interviews. Was it 2 or 3 years ago where you went out with FFA kids and you talked to them on the farm? I think that education for agriculture is just important for all Wisconsinites.
I'll tell you, that was when we were in the throes of the pandemic, where nothing was normal. And that included our county fairs. So now imagine you've got these families, these kids that have invested not only time, but money into livestock projects. Maybe it's a hog, a lamb, a steer, and now all of a sudden their fair has been canceled because of public safety concerns. Taking away that spotlight, taking away that opportunity for those young people to really put a crescendo on that project was just kind of heartbreaking. So Susan and I have known each other her entire career. I think I even actually started before she did, but we decided that we wanted to highlight those kids as best we could. So they created the Blue Ribbon series, and she turned to me because that's my audience.
Right.
And we put together just a group of young people all across their viewership that got a chance to be in the center of the spotlight for a little bit. That was at a time also where I was spending a lot of time with News 3 and on my radio network. People were paranoid, and rightly so. when you're a mother of, say, five kids and you can't get more than a gallon of milk on your grocery stop, when you go to the grocery store and you're seeing empty shelves for the first time in your life, you're going to the meat lot, you know, the butcher, and you're limited on supply and what you can pick. The only people that were talking about it on a regular basis was me,
right?
Because this is what I do for a living. So to your point, you know, even a blind squirrel finds a nut now and then. I really saw the work that we did and my passion for trying to connect consumers to production agriculture elevated at that time.
Well, it was great. And to that point, Pam, talking with Pam Yonker, the Midwest Farm Report, still my rest of my family, part were farmers, part were teachers. I'm not sure what happened to me, but my family that teaches so many kids now, even doesn't have to be Madison, Milwaukee, or Green Bay. It can be, you know, Eau Claire or La Crosse. They come into school and they do not know where their food comes from. They've never been on a farm. They've never been to see a producer. And so this education of our ag producers is so vitally important.
Well, and the interesting part, and you bring it up very well, I've got a 17-year-old nephew that is still on the farm. He'll help feed calves from time to time, and he's ending up being one of the only kids that's still involved in production agriculture. That's Northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell Falls, where I graduated from. What we're seeing is a lot of our agriculture education programs are thriving. They've got so many kids that want to be involved in food knowledge, environmental sciences, that the teachers and the capacity for classrooms cannot keep up. But to your point, this is all brand new for those kids. They don't have any practical hands-on learning. They've never necessarily been near a cow or livestock, but they have a passion, a desire to really know, where did my food come from? How is it produced? Answering questions up front about, you know, sources, practices, and things like that. So like I said, Wisconsin agriculture education has never been in probably as a robust spot. Teachers are coming up with fantastic curriculum, classroom sizes. I talked to one teacher just outside of Green Bay. She had to turn away 100 students that wanted to be involved in her agriculture education programs because of lack of space. So the passion is there. It's just a little bit different background. Me, I did it. I showed livestock. I did field work. I mean, that's my groove. But like I said, I'm just appreciative that the passion is still there. Without that, farm babes out on the street.
And, you know, I mean, you always say, you know, progress. I mean, tomorrow should be better than today. But I don't know, Pam, about you, but I'm thankful that my grandparents were dairy farmers and we went out to the bulk tank and just, you know, that's where the milk came from. I mean, you can't, it was so few kids that have that opportunity or know what, you know, what hay smells like when it first gets in the barn. I mean, all these things growing up on the farm, I mean, that was a blessing and an education that you just can't get anywhere else.
No, that is very true. I agree with you there. And, you know, I think today's experiences are still going on that way. Our Wisconsin is still 95% family farms. And the thing about that I try to help people understand in my broadcast is when you drive past some of these farms and you say, wow, that must be, I hate phrases like this, mega farm, factory farm. You're making a decision from the road on just the size of a building. What you fail to realize is that's a family farm. It's mom and dad. It's son and daughter-in-law. It may be brother and his wife. It's multi-generations on that farm, just like we always have. But to try to make sure that everybody's got a decent living today, they get bigger. And so, like I said, the family farm is still out there. Those educational experiences are still out there. You're still getting, you know, smacked in the face with a cow tail now and then. You know, there's still things that go wrong in the field as far as planting and so forth. But like you said, there's just fewer and fewer of us that are blessed with that day-to-day contact.
Well, and people don't realize too, I mean, my grandparents, I'm about to turn 54 next to a couple of weeks, but my grandparents did not have a vacation on the farm until I was in grade school and my parents were able to step in for them. And it's not mega farming so much as farming's a business. People don't understand this. Farming is a business.
Well, that's, again, back to the pandemic. That was amplified. In our building, I went into the office every day. It's the way it had to be. Yeah. Why? Because cows have to be milked.
That's right. Animals they don't have milk to be themselves, fed. As granddad used
you know,
to say.
the tempo of our agriculture community kept on going. We might not have been able to get together for meetings or stuff like that. But like I said, cows still have to be fed. Things have to be taken care of. And I knew that my audience was out there needing me to be there. So I was. And yeah, like you said, it's I remember when we got married, my husband and I, the decision was, okay, who's going to stay home and milk cows?
Right.
Fortunately, I had seven nephews all across the road. So one of my nephews skipped our wedding. We got married in the Eau Claire area. I'm from obviously towards Green Bay. Somebody stayed home, milked not only my uncle's herd, then came down the road by us and milked our cows.
Wow.
And did it again the next day. And it was a turn and burn. My mom and dad drove over for the wedding. They got there for the reception the night before, the wedding and the reception that night, and then barely hung around for a little bit of brunch the next day because he had to get home to milk cows on Sunday night. So, Wow. Yes, and that still is a lot the way agriculture is. It is difficult in that regard, finding help, finding somebody
right,
that can
yeah.
give you a break.
Pam Yonke, Midwest Farm Report. We have some very exciting news. We're happy to have her here talking with her today. We are partnering with the Midwest Farm Report here at Civic Media, and beginning very soon, as they say, coming to a station near you very soon, you're able to hear Pam Yonke every morning between 5 and 6. You can hear her on our stations in Green Bay, Hayward, Amory, Richland Center, my hometown, Racine, Kenosha, and Oshkosh across the state of Wisconsin. Pam, we could not be more excited and more thankful to have you be part of the Civic Media family.
You know, and as I've talked with not only your program director is an old colleague of mine, Catherine Lake, I've got a chance to meet up with the team, and it's really nice that we all kind of adhere to the same guidelines. It is all about the community. Agriculture has always been about the community. You talk about FFA, think about the county fairs. Mm-hmm. Agriculture is all about community and everybody coming together. When a barn burns or something gets burned or blown around by weather, the community comes together to rally behind those farmers. We're interdependent on one another. So I think it's going to be a great fit. I look forward to help sharing this kind of information and news every day, weekdays, all across the state.
And that's the thing on Midwest Farm Report, Pam. It's not just the markets you're going to give people. And for the producers, that's important. But there's so much more every morning between 5 and 6.
Well, and see, you make a good point. I personally do not like doing markets. Why? Because everybody's got a smartphone.
Right.
Everybody's got quick access. And whatever they want as far as the markets, you can see numbers. Our goal is to tell you the story behind those numbers. Our goal is help you better understand the things that are going on in agriculture. You drive past, you wonder why they're spread manure now. Why are there still lights out in the field at midnight? I'm there to try to help bridge those gaps between your questions, my farmers' practices, and everything else that goes in between.
Coming up at very soon here across Civic Media between 5 and 6, you can hear Pam Yonke in the Midwest Farm Report right here across Civic Media. Pam, it is National Farmers Day. Ag Secretary for Wisconsin, Randy Romanski, put out a release on that. It's a great time to celebrate our ag producers. I don't care whether you're an apple orchard producer, dairy, pig. I mean, right down the list, our farmers do so much of us. Tell us what your thoughts are on National Farmers Day.
It's a perfect time. I mean, really, I want people today. Now, most of the state of Wisconsin, as we speak, is getting rain. Yes, we need the rain, but farmers don't need the rain right now. Mm-hmm. They have been going at a hectic pace, trying to harvest, keep the harvest rolling. So I just ask people to pause, slow down. Imagine if your life revolved around the weather and you have a ticking time bomb out there called a corn plant or a soybean plant that has to be harvested. So those are the kinds of things that this day is designed to make us all give pause. This is why it's National Farmers Day. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
A couple of shout outs. So first of all, to Oakwood Fruit Farm back in Richland County, a great producer, a great Steve. Orchard up there. Have you been there before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
sure.
God. They're just I meet my family up there on Sunday. It's their employee Absolutely. Appreciation day. So get out to Richland County. Also coming up this weekend, Pam, I follow Vince Beagle, former Wisconsin football player. Their family has an Ocean Spray cranberry farm up near Wisconsin
yes.
Rapids. Their 104th harvest this year for their family. And you could go actually do a wade into the bogs this mm-hmm. weekend. I think it is $85. You got to register in advance. But our cranberry producers, Pam, still important to Wisconsin.
Number one in the United States, we produce more than 50% of all cranberries, and you will not find a more beautiful picture than the brilliant red of the cranberries when this cooler weather sets in. That's when the color comes on. And just imagine that family picture of everybody in hip waders standing right. in a Wisconsin cranberry bog with the floating red fruit. It'll be beautiful. Take advantage, folks.
Oh, it'll be absolutely beautiful. About a minute here before the break, Pam, let's switch gears for a second. I know you're a Packer fan. What do you think about the Packers? This loss to Vegas out there, is Jordan Love going to get, are they going to recover? Are the Packers going to be okay? Tell me, Pam.
My contention is be patient. And believe me, when you're a radio person and you work in 30 and 60 second increments, that is difficult to do. So I'm putting on my farmer cap where you plant the seed in May and you harvest in fall. It's going to require that kind of patience versus my 30 and 60 second mind. I'm going to hold tight. Try to be patient for the rest of the season.
That is the positivity of Pam Jahnke from Midwest Farm Report. You can hear her every morning from 5 to 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network and at Midwest Farm Report as well. Pam Jahnke, thank you so much. It's an honor to interview you. Thanks for being a part of the family here.
My pleasure. Happy National Farmers Day.
Happy National Farmers Day to all of our ag producers. Stay tuned. More on the other side. This is Devil Advocates Radio, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She thinks my tractor's sexy. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to Devil's Advocate here at the Civic Media Radio Network, filling in for Crudy and Dom, who are wearing ankle bracelets this afternoon. No, I'm not sure. I don't think they've gotten into that much trouble. No. Crudy is doing a little speech giving, and Dom's a busy man. He's a man about Milwaukee. So happy to be here, Todd Allball, along with Nate Wegehow on the board. Happy to have you on a Thursday afternoon, the 12th of October, 10 minutes now before the hour of 5 o'clock. I'm not used to this late hour, Nate. I'm not used to, I'm usually on earlier in the afternoon.
You need to be drinking more coffee then.
I've got a little bit right here. As Crudy mentioned, I'm a big beverage guy.
I usually get into the office here around 11 o'clock each day because, I do some news writing and stuff as well. I think I have probably 6 cups of coffee.
Do you really?
In the office. And that's in the office. Wow. That doesn't count what I drink when I wake up in the morning.
I owned a coffee shop for a while. Some people would say, you must drink a lot of coffee. When I owned the coffee shop, like maybe 2 cups a day. That was it. You're right. I find myself drinking more coffee now that I'm back in radio than I did when I owned a coffee shop.
So when you're here until 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, sometimes you need a little bit something extra just to keep you going.
You need a little something, that is for sure. So Crudy and Dom back tomorrow, but Todd Allball with you along with Nate, and we're happy to be filling in today. Want to move on to this news that came out this afternoon via CNN and other places. And this is how you legislate, or how you know that the person that represents you is influential in the legislature, in this case, the United States Senate. A couple of days ago, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat of Wisconsin, called on the Biden administration to freeze the $6 billion in assets that were set aside for Iran in a swap for hostages a couple of months ago after the horrendous attack on Israel this past Saturday by Hamas. And now, breaking this afternoon, according to CNN and others, the United States and Qatar have reached, quote, a quiet understanding, unquote, not to allow Iran to access any of the $6 billion and Iranian funds that were transferred to Qatari accounts last month as a part of that deal to free Americans detained in Iran for the time being. That's following Hamas's bloody attack on Israel this past Saturday. According to the White House and several Democrats this afternoon, those are the sources saying that lawmakers in that meeting said those funds would not be touched anytime soon and they would revisit it later on. So I think that, in my opinion, this is good news. This is exactly what should be done. And again, thanks to the leadership of people like Tammy Baldwin, our United States Senator. I know that Devils have talked about this a little bit. We've talked about it on our show in the afternoon from 1 until 3. I know our predecessor here in the 3 o'clock hour, Matt Flynn, has talked about the horrendous attacks by Hamas over the weekend on Israel. And again, I agree with Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, that the U.S., just like every Democrat and Republican before him, stands firm with Israel. They are a military alliance, an ally. They are a humanitarian for the region ally. And they are a strategic ally. You don't leave your allies when times are bad. And that's what Joe Biden has reiterated time and again over the last several days.
However, the former president, Donald Trump, had something a little different to say last night in a speech down in Florida. We've dialed this up, and Nate, kind of keep your finger on the button. We may interrupt him a couple of times. But again, I don't want this to come from me. Oh, well, Todd, a former Republican saying this. Sour grapes. Oh, devils who tend to bleed on the left side. There's no. Let's hear it directly from Donald Trump, if you would, please, Nate.
You know, Hezbollah is very smart. They're all very smart. The press doesn't like when they say it. But Hezbollah, they're very smart. I'll never forget that Bibi Netanyahu let us down. That was a very terrible thing. I will say that. They've got to straighten it out because they're fighting potentially a very big force. They're fighting potentially Iran. And when they have people saying the wrong things, everything they say is being digested by these people because they're vicious and they're smart. And boy, are they vicious, because nobody's ever seen the kind of sight that we've seen. But they cannot
play. Hold it there, thank you. It goes on from there. But Trump's calling Hezbollah, who is now attacking Israel from the north, smart, giving them credit. And look, there are politics in this, all right? I mean, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict has been going on forever. But to undercut an ally like Israel, and he goes on and calls the current defense minister of Israel, quote, a jerk, saying that Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, quote, messed things up. And again, I have spoken out on my show. I know others have. I have disagreements with Netanyahu on how he is trying to overturn the Justice Department in his own country. But this is a massacre. This is genocide against the Israeli and Jewish people. It's ridiculous. Nate, I want to go to the cut that we have time for, the cut from the gentleman from my show this afternoon.
We do.
I want to, this is Alex Scher. He is a reporter, a journalist here for the Wisconsin State Journal. He is of the Jewish community in Madison. He was on our show a couple of hours ago. And I asked him, taking the politics out for a minute, what can we do to support our fellow Americans in the Jewish community?
I think the overwhelming sentiment I'm hearing from the Jewish people, and I caught a couple people before the segment to ask this question, is that they want to be acknowledged. A lot of people are scared to speak out as Jewish people because they're scared what other people will say. And I think to know that people are there for them. I've received a few of those texts. It was helpful. And to be clear, I'm better off than a lot of Jewish people right now. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to make this apolitical. This transcends politics. The massacre transcends politics. I think there's a way to make this an effort across all faiths, across all people, across disregarding politics. And to be clear, I am impressed to the extent that I've seen that.
Mm-hmm. That
said, I don't think we're perfect. And I think we have a long way to go. And I think that each of us has a little tiny role we can take.
That was Alex Scher from the Wisconsin State Journal here in Milwaukee, but more importantly on this day, a member of the Jewish community here in Madison. He was on campus talking to students last night who said they are fearful to go to class right now. They're fearful walking by demonstrators. They're fearful for family and friends who are still in Israel. So let's be a little kind. Let's recognize this and put the politics aside between Israel and Palestine. And remember, Hamas is not Palestine. Hamas is a separate terrorist organization that lives and houses themselves in Palestinian territories. All loss of life is tragic. But what happened to Israel this past Saturday was a massacre. And that must be recognized. And we have to show some compassion and love towards our fellow citizens. We're going to come back in hour two. If you want to call in, 844-967-2789. Take your calls on the other side. Back with hour two of The Devil's Advocate on the Civic Media Radio Network.